Public Finances and Society. Listen to Jacques Delarosière, member of the French Académie des Sciences Morales et Politiques.
I would like to say a few words on the links between social development and economic development. It is usually accepted that social development in its, widest understanding, i.e. the one that includes human capital development and education, is completely linked to economic development. The most recent economic research insists on the absolute importance of education, research, innovation as engines of growth. Now, I would like to briefly present four ideas in this respect. Europe has too much favored unemployment. If you look at the growth of Europe after the Second World War and you compare it to that of the United States, you see that Europe has caught up to a large extent its hindrance vis-à-vis the United States after the Second World War until the end of the 70s. Thus, the GDP per inhabitant in Europe has gone from 40% after the war, immediately after the war, to 75% at the end of the 70s of the US level of GDP. Afterwards, things have stabilized. But since 1996, the average growth in Europe in terms of GDP per inhabitant is actually 0.4% lesser than that of the United States. And of course, this is accumulating. Now, this phenomenon of the sort of lagging Europe is due to a number of factors, which I'm certainly not going to analyze in an exhaustive way this evening. I'd like just to say one thing, and that is that the United States have managed to reach full employment. That is, let's say, 4 to 5% of unemployment in the active population, whilst the similar figures in Europe are usually twice as high, that is around 10%. Now, it's not the productivity, the hourly calculated productivity, which is at stake. Actually, Europe has rather good figures in this. It's the number of hours that are worked over the year by the individuals, that is the key. If you take an index 100 for the European Union and you compare it to the situation in the United States, you see that the number of worked hours per worker, if I may say so, is 144 in the US against 100 in Europe. This means that the famous economic and social model of Europe has given a sort of favor to hourly productivity, to productivity investment, vis-a-vis putting less qualified people to work. And I think it is the rigidity of the labor force market in Europe which is at the root of this problem. The second thing I wanted to say is that there is a sort of a paradox. And the paradox is that the very high social protection that has been organized in Europe doesn't translate itself by an increase in employment. If you look at the decade of the 90s, you see that Germany has devoted yearly to social protection, and that is a concept which includes health care, some 31% per year of its GDP. And in that 31% is divided in 26.5% in terms of public expenditure and 4.5% in terms of private expenditure. Now, if you look at the same period in the United States, you see that instead of 31% yearly of GDP, it's only 27%, little more, 27.4% that of GDP that has been allocated to social expenses. And that is 15.5% for the public part and close to 12% for the private part. But the performances in terms of employment, as I said a moment ago, are clearly much better in the United States than they were in Germany. So I think we have to get rid of a sort of bias of our mind which would sort of excuse high unemployment under the pretext that we have a good social protection system. The third idea which I wanted to highlight is that we absolutely need in Europe to attract to the labor market the young and the seniors. And I would say that the Lisbon strategy, which unfortunately is very imperfectly implemented, should highlight school, university, continuous training, the development of research and development, inciting young and seniors to work. And the report by Mr. Koch at the end of 2004 is an illustration of what I've said and really deserves a lot of publicity. And my fourth and last idea is that the oldening, the aging of our European societies makes this orientation, which I have just underlined, all the more indispensable and urgent. We know that our societies are getting older. We know that there's less fertility, that we have less people at work. We will have less people at work. We will have more pension people living longer. And all this, of course, raises important and urgent questions regarding the structural reforms of our pension systems in Europe. If we didn't do anything, the European countries would, towards the years 220, 225, would be faced to financial situations that are absolutely unmanageable. In other words, the public debt vis-a-vis GDP, which is in the order of 65% today, pretty high, would be, if nothing is done, in the order of 200% in 2050. And that, of course, is not workable. And we therefore have, before things deteriorate even more, we have to react now to reform our systems, our public finances, in order to take into account the demographic trends in the medium run. I think we have to open our eyes to the future. We have to say the truth, even if it's not very, I would say, agreeable to hear to our citizens. And we have to prepare consistent policies. And if that is the way that we will manage to make the social integration by the workforce, to make it happen, that is the condition for our growth and our social development in the future. Thank you.